Is it Survivor or just Big Brother?
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The WTO trade talks in Hong Kong are starting to sound like a reality TV show, the kind where people are locked in a room for 6 days and get really grumpy. Today, the EU blamed the U.S. for the summit's failure so far. The U.S. says Europe's stand on farm import tariffs is the problem. Developing countries are upset with both of them. The one deal that might get done would give a boost to exports from the poorest nations, but even that is in doubt. The show ends Sunday. In Bolivia Sunday, presidential elections, this is a poor South American country that recently discovered it's sitting on a winning lottery ticket of natural gas. But just like the lottery winner, riches don't always bring happiness. Dan Gretsch reports from the Americas desk at WLRN in Miami.
In the 80s, Bolivia experimented with a radical opening of its borders to trade. This shock therapy didn't do much for the country, so now Bolivians are looking elsewhere for an economic model. Syndicated columnist Andres Oppenheimer says many are settling on Venezuela, an oil-rich country that dislikes free trade.
Bolivia may become a one-product country, natural gas, which the world may buy with or without free trade.
But Bolivia can't close itself off completely, says Notre Dame's Donnelly Van Cott.
It's going to have to increase its production of natural gas, and it's only going to be able to do that with increased investment.
This divided impulse toward open borders will play a key role this Sunday in Bolivia's presidential election. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Before the weekend's over, venerable grocery chain Albertsons could be sold. The Wall Street Journal says an investment group's close to a deal for almost $10 billion. When you add in Albertsons' debt, this would be the second largest leveraged buyout in history. The purchase would mean a lot of layoffs and store closings. Another supermarket chain faces some big-time trouble. Ralph's is part of the Kroger family of stores. A federal grand jury has indicted Ralph's in connection with a worker strike 2 years ago in Southern California. Marketplace's Tess Vigeland reports.
The indictment accuses Ralph's supermarkets across Southern California of secretly rehiring thousands of union workers after locking them out in 2003. That's against the law, but it doesn't stop there. Prosecutors allege that Ralph's issued fake names and social security numbers to the rehired workers, paid them under those names, and then allowed the workers to cash the checks at its stores.
This is stooping very low in the lockout business.
Kate Bromfenbrenner teaches labor law at Cornell.
It shows the lengths to which companies will go to try to hurt unions and hurt workers who try to exercise their rights just to protect their health insurance.
Health coverage was the main issue in the month-long strike and lockout that affected some 70,000 grocery employees. Ralph's parent company, Kroger, denies that it was part of the illegal hiring and says it believes only a fraction of the store's replacement workers were rehires. In Los Angeles, I'm Tess Vigeland for Marketplace.
A lot of pushing and pulling on Wall Street and going nowhere. The Dow dropped a point to 10,881. The S&P 500 index also lost a point. The NASDAQ down a point to 2260. Gold is still losing its luster, down $9 today to $497 an ounce. This is Marketplace. We just had our holiday office party here at Marketplace. It was actually pretty good this year, but you know how bad these things can be. Here's Brian Watt.
Darren Schuster of Pop Culture PR knows exactly why folks often dread the office holiday party.
A Christmas party with, you know, eggnog and somebody with the proverbial lampshade on their head is just not good enough.
So his firm and some of its clients are throwing a bash today with features that'll give that eggnog more than a little kick. While artificial snow blankets the conference room, attendees can drink champagne shots that have whizzed down a mini luge course carved into a block of ice. Or they can win prizes for eating squeamish delicacies that would put fear factor to shame. And that's not all.
We'll have two short-statured gentlemen dressed in elf costume as they direct the holiday cat fashion show on the red carpet in the conference room.
Oh, my. I think I'll just have some eggnog. In Los Angeles, I'm Brian Watt for Marketplace.
And this is the Marketplace Morning Report, produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, the weekly publication of international news with commentary and analysis on world politics, business and finance, technology and the arts, on newsstands and at economist.com. By Fannie Mae, working with our partners to increase homeownership and affordable rental housing opportunities for more Americans. Fannie Mae, fanniemae.com. And by Medtronic, alleviating pain, restoring health, extending life. Medtronic, on the web at Medtronic.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Americans aren't really into green buildings that much. I don't mean houses painted green, environmentally friendly homes. They can add a good 10% to the cost. Today in Washington, the first ever EcoBuild conference wraps up, and one thing they've been talking about is how to change people's perceptions of green. From the sustainability desk, Alex Cohen reports.
In the world of architecture, the word green tends to conjure images of adobe huts and space-age solar-paneled houses. Fascinating, but not necessarily the kind of home you'd want to live in. That's one reason why architect Peter Pfeiffer seldom uses the term green building.
I use high-performance building because that's really what it is. It's about building houses correctly.
Right now, Pfeiffer's renovating this two-story house, making it more energy efficient by getting rid of the old pink insulation behind the walls and using a mustard-colored spray foam insulation instead.
This is about 2.5 times the cost of traditional fiberglass bats. So let's translate. If you've got a 2,500-square-foot house, you might spend $5,000 to $7,500 more doing this insulation.
Pfeiffer says to make that extra cost more bearable, he uses the same technique Volvo does with its cars. He sells his homes on safety. Sustainable homes use products without toxins and include features that greatly reduce mold and indoor air pollution.
If someone's child will get sick less often because of this home, you tell me what the payback is on that. It's fantastic.
Ann Phipps is a mother of three in Austin, Texas. She says she's never considered herself a diehard environmentalist. What sold her on going green was knowing her new house will last. Overhangs on her windows will protect her carpets and bedding from sun damage. Concrete siding will preserve the exterior paint for at least a decade.
The metal roof is a little bit more expensive than shingle roof, but it's not something we're ever going to have to replace. So why buy two roofs? Let's buy one roof and keep that roof.
In the current market, green homes are selling especially well thanks to soaring energy costs. Ray Tonjes is president of the National Association of Home Builders Green Building Subcommittee.
There's nothing better to spur an industry along than a crisis, and $60 a barrel oil is certainly a crisis for the average consumer.
According to the National Association of Home Builders, the number of green homes has increased more than fivefold since 2000. That's good news for consumers, Tonjes says, because as sustainable building becomes more popular, the materials and knowledge needed to construct such homes becomes more mainstream. And that means the cost should start to come down, too. I'm Alex Cohen for Marketplace.
We welcome your feedback here at Marketplace. You can send us your emails, letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
Many companies are trying to make the world.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.